Well, here we are in the year 2020, and being that we're in 2020, we're not just in a new year, we're in a whole new decade. Now, our middle son, Ben, and his wife are expecting a baby due the beginning of March. Now, this was baby number four. One and two were like 3 weeks and 5 weeks early. And number three, I think she was either on the due date or the day after the due date. But they're hoping, at least Keisha said she's hoping, that this baby will be born on 2/20/2020 or 2/29/2020. So it would be kind of a unique thing. And if he or she, they haven't found out which, was born, then that would be kind of neat if it was born at 2:20 a.m. or p.m. p.m. would be better than a.m. But so just to be kind of unique, I guess. But there's a warning that I've seen on Facebook, and it could be something really important, and that's when you're writing dates on an important document of some kind, that like today is, I think, the 14th, so you shouldn't write 1/14/20. You should write 1/14/2020, because if you just write 1/14/20, somebody could, at some time, for whatever reason, change it to 1/14/2016 or 2018 or 2002 or whatever it might be. So, you know, that could maybe cause some problems down the road, I guess. Some people are just kind of always thinking of things that could cause a problem, I guess. But something that I found interesting, at least to me, was the word date. Okay, when we think about today's date, or going out on a date, or even the fruit date, it's not in the original language. So I thought that was kind of interesting. We find it used in some of the different versions of the Bible, but, you know, if we look in the original, it's not there. So we make a big deal about dates, but apparently God doesn't, since time means nothing to him. I can imagine that. But so let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for today. And Lord, help us to be who you need us to be today. Help us to go where you want us to go and to do what you want us to do. And Lord, help us to be Jesus wherever we are, and to look at other people through the eyes of Jesus. And when we do that, the Lord will be more compassionate and will be more helpful. And Lord, we can maybe change a life just by doing that. So Father, help us to be Jesus today to somebody that needs him more than we know. So Lord, as we look at your word, Father, help us to see what you want us to see. Lord, help us to get the message that you want us to get, and open our eyes and our ears and our hearts, and through the Holy Spirit, strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you about something new. Now, we all like new things, okay? New clothes, a new car. When I was growing up, my neighbor, he bought, when I was younger, like in the mid-50s into the late 50s, he bought a new Buick every year, and then he started buying new Cadillacs every year. But then he started collecting antique cars and classic cars. So, but new cars are nice. You know, they even sell a deodorizer, you know, one of those little pine tree things or whatever that you can get for your car that has a new car smell to it. New shoes. I just bought a pair of new shoes yesterday. My old shoes that I wore every day, they're just so comfortable. Now I'm going to just save them and use them for when I'm mowing the lawn, I guess. But they're just got to be broke in, those new shoes. Women like a new purse, apparently. You go to the store and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of purses there. New tools, new toys, new books. You know, the list is endless. But we usually don't like hand-me-downs. You know, maybe you're the second or third child or the sixth child or whatever it might be. And so you get stuff that's handed down. And, you know, you don't like the color. Your older brother or sister really liked that color and thought it was pretty cool, but you don't like it. It's worn out. You know, maybe, you know, if it's shoes, you know, they were comfortable for them, but they're not very comfortable for you. And it's a little bit too big or a little bit too small, or you just don't like it. And parents really don't care because, you know, they can get some more use out of clothes. And the cost of clothing, it's a good idea. Now, our three boys, they were close enough in age and size that they kind of traded stuff back and forth. You know, sometimes all wearing pretty much the same size. I know one time, I don't know what we were thinking, but all three of them bought sneakers that were the same. That was not good because, you know, you came in the house and you took off your sneakers by the door. Well, then it could be an ordeal to find out who's got whose sneaker because the sizes weren't that different. Well, in the 90s, there's a big push for, you know, renew, recycle, and reuse. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, we recycle everything that we can. You know, I've always wondered, why haven't they come up with a way to recycle styrofoam? You know, you buy a new TV set, you know, it comes in that box and it's got a whole lot of styrofoam in there. Or whatever it might be, you know, some new kitchen gadget is packed in styrofoam. And we just throw it away and it just sits there forever. But they're saying now that it costs more to recycle things than to make something new in a lot of cases. And so a lot of what we may be sending to the recycle center, they're sending to the landfill because it's not usable. I know when we remember, we have the bags that we use for our groceries or when we go to Walmart, whatever. Usually I think of it at the time that I get to the cash register and start unloading stuff out of my cart. I think, oh, I should have brought my bags in. But one store that we used to go to where they had the places to take your carts back, there was a sign that said, don't forget your bags. So, you know, as you drive down the road, you know, especially in maybe a little less inhabited area, you see Walmart bags or whatever in ditches and trees on phone lines out in the middle of the field, and some places have outlawed these, and so trying to get us to use these reusable bags. But to get back to where I want to go, scripture talks a lot about new. In Genesis 17, God is talking to Abram about the covenant that he's going to have with him. And in Genesis 17, 4 and 5, the NIV, it says, as for me, this is the Lord speaking, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. So why did God find it necessary to put the "ah" in Abraham? Or in Abram, excuse me, and change it? Well, because the two names have different meanings. They're similar meanings, but different. Abram means exalted father, where Abraham means father of many. So you could be an exalted father and just have one child. But if you are the father of many, that means that you have, you know, a bunch. But God was talking about millions. So God was letting Abram know that he was going to keep his promise to him. Because earlier in Genesis, God told Abram that he would be the father of many nations. So now with this new name, fulfillment of that seemed to be coming closer. But God wasn't done. further in Genesis 17, verses 15 and 16, it tells us this: God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your neighbor, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." So Sarai and Sarah, they both mean princess. So there wasn't that change. So why God sought to make that change? Maybe he thought, you know, I changed Abram to Abraham. You know, I probably better change Sarah, you know, change to Sarah so she doesn't feel bad. So new names, new lives, new responsibility, and being around 100, they're going to be new parents. And that's something. I don't know how old you are, but at 70, I cannot imagine becoming a new parent. And I would probably need a new name after that. But sometimes some people feel it's important, that new name. You know, there's songs about that, you know, our names being changed now that we're believers. And we had a friend, that young woman, that when she came to know the Lord, she changed her name from Brooke to Brooke. Now, I'm not sure, but I think her middle name was Anne, so the A was there already. But she's since then been known as Brooke, the only Brooke that I'm aware of. So in Lamentations, the writer, who is possibly Jeremiah, tells us something that is familiar. In chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, in the NIV, this is what it says. Excuse me. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." So in the Message, it tells us a little bit different, of course. It says God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I'll say it over and over. He's all I've got left. Now, I've read this many times, but when I read it this time, it reminded me of the Israelites wandering in the desert. Okay, it tells us that God's blessings are new every morning. Well, every morning, except the Sabbath, they received new manna. And, you know, just like we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I don't believe there that it's talking about physical food, but we'll go there another time. But every morning, the Lord blessed the Israelites with the manna. So God renews his promises to us every day. Okay, he doesn't just renew his promises on the Sabbath. You know, you go to church on Sunday and you're getting God's promises renewed, and that's going to last you for the week. You know, not the first of the month or quarterly, but every day, day after day, and enough for the day. Except, again, going back to the Israelites, they didn't receive manna on the Sabbath. So on the day before the Sabbath, they received twice as much, so they would have enough blessing for that day. So where else do we find new to be important? Well, how about Matthew 9, verses 16 and 17? And Jesus is speaking about fasting. And he says, "Who would mend worn-out clothing with new fabric? When the new cloth shrinks, it will rip, making the hole worse than before. And who would pour fresh new wine into an old wineskin? Eventually, the wine will ferment and make the wineskin burst, losing everything. The wine is spilled and the wineskin ruined. Instead, new wine is always poured into new wineskin so that both are preserved." You know, sometimes new and old can be combined with no problems. Okay, but the times that Jesus is speaking about, that's not true. Okay, putting it into to something that I can relate to anyways is, you know, let's say we've got a gallon of milk in the refrigerator and there's only, you know, maybe an inch and a half of milk left in there, and we buy a half gallon of milk, okay? And so I get that half gallon, and I think, well, instead of having both of these in the refrigerator, I'll just pour this half gallon into this gallon. Well, I'm not going to do that, because the milk that was there in that gallon jug is maybe ready to expire. And so I'm not going to put fresh milk in there with it. Back in the day when I would change the oil and filter in our cars, whenever I changed the oil, I would always change the filter. Now, in the manual, it would say, you know, you just need to change the filter every other time. And I thought, well, how stupid is that? You know, I mean, the filter wasn't that much, you know, $3, $4. And, you know, why would I put new oil in and have it going through an old, dirty filter? You know, it just didn't make sense to me. Now, if I have a pair of comfortable shoes and, you know, I try it on, and I've done this, you know, I get a pair of shoes and they, you know, they feel really good and, you know, they look good, and also I go and I buy another pair just like them. And, you know, well, let's say, you know, I have that second pair, I just leave in the closet, and I think, you know, wait, and, you know, when I need to, then I'll start wearing those. But what if one shoe, you know, was kind of faulty and it fell apart? Well, you know, I wouldn't go and get one of the new shoes and wear with that old shoe. You know, even though they're the same style, same color, you know, the one is brand new and the other one is kind of dirty and scuffed up and all. And so, you know, you just don't do that. Okay, I mean, that may be a stretch, but, you know, maybe you get the point. Sometimes new ideas work with old ways. Sometimes not. Pastoring several churches, especially small churches, you hear this phrase quite often. We've never done it this way before. Okay? So new can sometimes be hard because people see something that they've always done it the same old way. And even though it hasn't been real fruitful, hasn't been real successful, it's just that that's the way that they've always done it. That's the way that they're used to doing it, and they can't see why they would want to do it a different way, even though this new way may bring some fruit. So sometimes it's rather difficult. And then we have our old friend Saul. Or is it Paul? Well, Saul was called Saul until Acts 13:9. Okay, in the New Living Translation, it says, Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, actually, Saul was never referred to as Paul until that verse. Okay, it says that he was also known as Paul, but we don't find him being called anything but Saul up until that time. And the only time Paul is referred to as Saul is after his conversion, and he was talking about that, you know, talking about, you know, Saul, you know, was out to kill the Christians and, you know, on the road to Damascus and all that. So Saul becoming Paul, it just kind of happened. You know, as far as we know, well, maybe God changed his name, maybe not. It doesn't tell us that he did. But Paul was not who Saul used to be. Okay, that's the big thing that we need to know, that once Saul came to know Jesus Christ as a Savior and became Paul, he was a different person, not just his name, but he was different in every way. So in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul has been talking about the grace we receive through Christ. And in verses 16 to 18, he sums up the chapter like this. He says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So our spirits are being renewed every day, new every morning, like Lamentations tells us. Well, praise God. You know, and I think I can speak for all of us and say that, you know, I need a new outlook daily. I need to know that yesterday's mistakes are behind me. And, you know, I choose that new outlook or not daily. So I want to look at another familiar verse and I want to put it in context. Okay, this is also from 2 Corinthians, excuse me, this is chapter 5, verses 14 to 18. It says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all have died to our old self. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Now, how differently we know him. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Okay, the old is gone, the new has come. This is the place where new every morning is important. Often, I need to be reminded that I'm not the old me. I'm a new creation through Christ. I may look like the old me, unfortunately, and I may sound like the old me, but on the inside, in my heart, I'm a new creation. So one more from the New Testament. Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he's giving them instructions and reminders on how to live as Christians. And I'll start in verse 5. He says, maybe a reminder for you. I know it will be for me. So he says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, or evil desire. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, civilian, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So Paul goes on to tell us the positive things that we need in our lives. Okay, here he's talked about the negative things we need to get rid of, but then he goes on to give us the positive things. But let me repeat verse 10, where it says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Okay, the new nature and the being renewed is important. But why? Because it is helping us to become more like Christ. That is what we're supposed to be doing daily, okay, with those new blessings that we receive. So God didn't give the Israelites the manna on the Sabbath. That was the day that he did not. But all too often, we think that what we get in church on Sunday is all we need. Okay, on our Sabbath, we think, you know, this is it. Okay, but that's not the way it is. Okay, that's just an appetizer for the week's meals that we need daily. Now, maybe you're a part of a church that has a daily devotion that goes along with a sermon. That's a great idea because it helps you to dig deeper into what you're given on Sunday morning. Okay, for the year that we were in Lexington, Kentucky, we went to Southland Christian Church and we watched the sermon every week, and we get the Monday through Friday devotion that goes along with what that message is on Sunday. So it helps you to get more out of what you were given on Sunday. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, if, you know, a verse we find on Facebook, or we find it in scripture someplace, or whatever it may be, and it kind of catches our attention, well, go and find that verse in your Bible, and hopefully you have a study Bible that can cross-reference that, and you can look and see, you know, well, you know, Paul said this because, or when Paul said this, you know, he was, you know, quoting, you know, this from the Old Testament, or, you know, he was saying this because, you know, this is, you know, the way that the Lord wants him to present this, whatever it might be. So there's so many ways to grow in the Lord daily, if you want to, and that's the key. I believe you have to really, truly have given yourself to the Lord. And when you do, you're going to have a hunger to know more about him. Think about when you were dating your spouse. Okay, and I think this applies more to men than women. Applies to me. You know, when you're courting, you know, you went out of your way to impress that person. You know, you just did things that you knew that they wanted you to do, and you didn't do things that you thought that they didn't want you to do, and so you were trying to impress them. And then, you know, you get married, and for guys it's kind of like, well, you know, bagged that one, so I don't have to worry about doing anything more. But a relationship with the Lord is so much more important than our relationship with our spouse. And so we need to not be trying to impress the Lord, but trying to know more of the Lord. Psalm 51 is a favorite of mine. The prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel has gone to David and rebuked him for his affair with Bathsheba and the adultery and the murder and all the deceit that there was there. And so Psalm 51 is David going to the Lord kind of with his tail between his legs. And this is what it tells us in the first three verses of that psalm. In the NIV, it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." And from the message, it says, "Generous in love, God, give grace, huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record, scrub away my guilt, soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down." In the New Living Translation, verses 10 through 12, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew your loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." Willing to obey you. I can't speak for you, but sometimes that's a place where I need the most help. I need to be willing to obey. David knew he needed to be renewed, and that was his only hope. God would take him back and move on. So for us as believers, we need to know that, and we need to make sure that we are living it, knowing that God keeps renewing us. God doesn't say, well, forget this guy, you know, we'll find somebody else and start over. You know, he renews us because he knows our potential. He knows the gifts that he's given us. And so for us as believers, we need to remember that. We need to know that God loves us and that God forgives us and that God is always going to be there with us and for us in every way. And so we've got to make sure that we do what he needs us to do and be who he needs us to be. So Father, I just pray that you'll lift us up as your children, and Lord, help us to feel your presence. Lord, help us to come back if we've drifted away and to come closer. And Lord, if there's anyone that's listening to this that doesn't know you, has not made that commitment to you that they need to, Lord, I pray that today will be the day that they will make the decision to make Jesus Christ their Savior and make you the Lord of their lives. So Father, help them to know that they're loved and that they're accepted and that they haven't sinned too much. They're not too good. They're not too bad. They're not too strong. They're not too healthy. They're not too rich. That, Lord, you take us all just like we are. In Jesus' name, amen.